I'm not a diva or whatever. You're gonna have an easy ride with me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, I head the soundtrack section on the site now. So
okay.
When they asked if I want to talk to you, I was totally all up for that.
Cause cool.
Whatever music I've heard so far has been great, and the sound design in that demo was just awesome. So
great. Thank you very much.
I guess for starters, could I just get like your name and like what you did on the game?
Sure. My name is Steve Shipkowski. Long Polish name, very complicated, but once you see it, you remember it, so that's a cool thing. It's kind of got that Schwarzenegger effect to it.
Gives you that badass effect.
Yeah, it takes up a lot of space in credits, which is kind of nice.
Like, that's definitely me.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm the audio director on the project. I was been here for 4 years now. I was brought in early in the pre-production stage. Once they had already kind of gotten the foundation together, they already had the concept art pretty much together, so I knew visually what I was working with. And basically anything that's audio and sound related comes through my department. We took care of all the sound effects, all the ambiences. I was responsible for majority of the casting as well.
Mm-hmm.
And choosing the composer.
Okay. Well, that gives me two good ideas for questions here. First question for the casting, I think it's Elias, how do you pronounce his last
Tufexis.
Name? Tufexis.
Yeah.
When they first dropped that first trailer, some people were kind of like, oh man, he sounds like Batman from The Dark Knight.
Yeah, it's funny, and it's really like not much of a stretch on his voice. Like, that's just his normal, that's how he sounds. And a lot of people were like, wow, he sounds like Christian Bale. And I never even noticed it. For me, it was more, I was always looking for somebody that felt that they fit into that sort of J.C. Denton family.
That's exactly what I thought when I heard it. I had just finished the game for the first time, the original, in February. And I said, that guy sounds just like J.C. Denton.
It's close. Like, I didn't want an exact sound alike, but I wanted it to sound like it came from the same family. Because for anyone who's played the game and the fans and that, I didn't want him to all of a sudden get, like, a curveball from left field and the guy sounds like nothing that should fit in a cyberpunk world, you know? And I find even if you watch films like Matrix and all this, like, that whole cyberpunk genre, everybody has a certain kind of way of talking.
They it's have very, their vibe.
Very straight to the point. It's very cold and sterile, and I thought he brought that. You know, he just sounded very real to me, which I liked.
I agree completely.
Like, I've got a huge film. I'm a huge film guy, and like, I think I bring some of that into the video game thing because I want it to feel like a movie, and I want it to feel that it's a movie that you're in and you're interacting with.
Is there any movie in particular that, you know, you had in mind when you said, you know, I want him for this position, I want it to be like this, or...
Not really, like, I was pretty open. It was just, again, I'm a total gut vibe guy, and I just listening to voices, and then all of a sudden I heard him, and, you know, they're reading a scene, and we're like, yeah, that's good, that's okay, and then when I heard him right away, I sat up, and I'm like...
There he is,
there's something there. I heard the tone, and it was something in the tone, and the way he delivered the lines, I said, no, I could listen to that, like... There's also, you got to consider, you know, you're making a game that's got maybe up to 30, 40 hours of gameplay. You don't want it to be a voice that you're going to get annoyed
that's
and sick
start
of hearing.
You halfway through, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of things can sound cool in the first 20 minutes or 2 hours, but after 8 hours don't sound as cool anymore. So what I liked about him is there was nothing really grating in it. I felt it wasn't, while it was cool and dark sounding, it was also still, I found, pleasant to the ear, where it never felt like it was grating on me.
Yeah, like he had a vibe, but he still sounded like a normal person.
Yeah, exactly. Not something that I would get tired of after like 10 hours.
Yeah.
And that was important too.
So you had the script, I guess, when in the lines
well,
and stuff?
Well, we had like a casting script.
Like, kind of like, this is Adam Jensen, this is who he is,
this is who he is, this is where he's coming from, and in this scene, this is what's going on, and go. And then we would cast with that scene. And then, basically, I'd come back here, and any of the interesting ones, like, let's say we had Jensen playing a scene with character X, if we had casted, usually we tried to cast for both around the same time, and then for the actors that we were considering, I would put the dialogue and I would make a mix where I would make like an audio movie of the scene with a quick ambience and a quick
Almost like a radio drama.
I guess. So you could hear it as if you were hearing it in the game and you would hear it in the right context. Like, I don't need to hear it that way, but when you're trying to sell it to other people, it always helps when they can hear the voice acting with another character and they hear the music and a bit, you know.
Yeah,
like
they hear the fans spinning in the background.
That's it. You try and make it so the jump for them is as small as possible to get to where you want them to go, you know?
Okay. Cool. And then, so you picked the composer, Michael McCann.
Yeah.
What did you have in mind? Like, did you have, like, a say? Did you say, like, you know, I want this influence in the music, or, like,
I definitely gave him, like... Well, I definitely gave him, like, I started out with the very crude, basic elements of, you know, the ingredients, you know, and my ingredient list was maybe, you know, 8 ingredients, and I'd be like, you know, I want, like, a very sort of dark John Carpenter vibe. I said I'm a big John Carpenter fan, and I said I like the way his music is powerful and big, with all the while being very subtle and letting the movie and the story breathe. And I said, and I want that. I want that immersive sort of thing. And I brought in, you know, some cyber references. I brought in, like, you know, some Nine Inch Nails stuff as a bit of a guideline for the combats and how I wanted it dirty and, you know, really distorted and feeling gritty. And then I gave that to Mike, and he was like, okay, let me sit with that and stew with that, and let me bring in my ingredients. And his ingredients is like 1 to 1,000, whereas I gave him 8. You know, he took that 8 and then made something
go crazy,
really
crazy.
Good out of it, you know. And because he brings in, you know, his tons of influences that fit with what I wanted, and then you get what we get in the end, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, even the title track now, I mean, most of the response I've heard to it has been awesome. I mean, I love it. And you know, a lot of people are big fans of the original Deus Ex's theme.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have, I live with a guy that's, you know, loved the series right from the get-go, and he said Icarus, as soon as he heard it, he said, this is better than the original's theme.
Well, that's great. Mike would be really happy to hear it. And for sure, you know, there's some fans of the original, and I know there's a big nostalgic factor that, you know, it's hard for us to get over that hurdle because, you know, you hold already this love for that track, and it's almost like we're trying to be the new love in your life, you know?
Yeah, which you're almost competing with what you're trying to do tribute to, I guess.
And that's it. And nobody says you can't like both tracks, you know? Like, but it's nice to hear that because obviously that it was a concern, and, you know, you want to make sure that what people hear is, A, going to be reflective of what's in the game, because you don't want to try and sell something that's not in the game. And you hope that, you know, you're putting yourself out there and you're saying, this is what we've done and we really care about the game and we think this is the direction, and you hope people will like it and respect it and, you know, sort of even get a bit of the honesty that, you know, you're actually trying to do something cool here.
Yeah, like you're not just trying to remake the first one. You're trying to give it its own identity. And I think it has.
I always compared it to Star Trek. I said, you know, you had the original series with Shatner and that. And it was, you know, a huge cult hit after the fact that it was canceled and it went into syndication. And then when they decided to do Next Generation, you know, all the original hardcore Star Trek fans all want Kirk back. They all want everyone.
They all want.
It's like, well, no, they're doing the movies now and it's not going to happen. We're doing something different. It's going to respect the Star Trek universe, but it's not going to be the same theme song. It's going to be a new theme, a new captain. And people were like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. But once you open yourself up to it, you see that it does respect all the rules that the Star Trek universe has. And okay, it's a different theme, but now a lot of people have grown up with that as opposed to the original. And to them, their love for the Next Generation is like, well, that's the original Star Trek to them.
Yeah.
You know, like I went through both and you know, I was open to whatever. There were certain iterations of like Voyager or whatever that I wasn't as much of a fan of, but it had nothing to do with me being a hardcore Star Trek fan saying I refuse to accept anything other than the original.
Yeah, you kind of want a new take on the old concept.
Yeah, so basically that's how I give me one sec. Yeah. I think he just wants to...
You're in
an
interview?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. That's okay.
So yeah, I view it often as the Star Trek thing, the same thing. You know, you're going up against fans that have a love for a track already.
And they have their own expectations for what that's supposed to be.
Exactly. Like, but I think if people open themselves up, like you said, and it seems like that's what they're doing, and they're gravitating to the fact that the vibe is still respected, you know?
Yeah, like, it feels Deus Ex. It's just, you know, it's not just a regurgitation of, you know, what was there to begin with.
No, exactly, and I didn't want to do that. I thought it deserved its own identity, you know, and Mike was the one who brought that whole new identity in.
For sure. I had one other question. What was it? I guess, were there any, like, you know, note-for-note influences, I guess, from the original? I read somewhere that, you know, you might hear a guy walking down the street whistling the theme from the old one.
Absolutely. Like, I threw in, there's a lot of, I don't want to give away too many of the work that we did, but for anybody who's a fan of the original, there's a lot of throwbacks. Like, I made it sort of my one of my jobs was to find ways to bring in subtle things that if subtle nods that if you were a fan of the original, you're just going to smile and be like, oh, cool.
Like, oh, that's great.
Yeah, whether it's, like you said, somebody whistling the theme from the original game, you hear it in an alley. There's a lot of other stuff that I brought in. There's actual music tracks from the first game.
Really?
Yeah. I won't tell you how they're in the game, but you'll walk around.
It should be fun to find, yeah.
They'll be fun to find. There's a lot of, not even to go into all the email and backstory that you can get from that angle, but from a Sonic angle, there was only one part where in the original demo, the original walk, like when you go through and we call it the walk and talk, the whole first 10 minutes, there's a part where when Adam comes out of the elevator into Seraph's office, that we intentionally put the UNATCO theme
really?
Into the track.
That's cool.
Because we wanted to do a nod. I actually had done it in a mock-up. And when Mike heard it, he really liked it. He liked what I had done, so he incorporated it into the track. It's only for about, like, 2 bars.
But still.
But
if, enough that someone that's played the first one 10, 15 times and is...
You'll hear it. As soon as you walk out of the elevator, the track changes and it goes into the UNATCO theme for about 2-3 bars. And then when you get into Seraph's office, all the music comes down.
Comes back. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff. That's the only one where we actually redid it. Musically, and it's only a small section, but other than that, there's a lot of throwbacks to the original game all through it.
That sounds excellent.
It was a way to try and, like you said, you know, give a nod to all the fans that have been around for 10 years waiting for another game. Like, I always said, well...
We didn't forget what was
why ignore them, you know? Like, if you can make a bit of effort and throw some stuff in that doesn't... You don't have to be a fan of the original, but if you are, it's an added bonus because you get it. Where somebody else hears somebody whistling and it's like, oh, whatever. But when you know the theme, you're like, he's whistling the theme. That's cool, you know?
You can please the people from before, but you still give the... You're not... You're giving the new game something new.
That's it, you know? That's exactly it.
Well, I don't know how much time we have, but I guess I'll go with one last question.
Sure.
When Michael was composing the music...
Yeah.
How much back and forth did you guys have? Like, did he say, write a piece and then hand it to you and you listen to it and you said, well, that's not the vibe I'm going for? Or
it's a bit of that, but there was a lot of back and forth. I mean, like I said, the fact that he's local in Montreal was one of the reasons why I kind of gravitated towards him, because I knew having somebody local, the fact that I could get that buy-in and that commitment from him. And it was great because, like I said, I'd have days here where it'd be super busy and Mike's more of a nighthawk. I'd get home, take care of the kids, do what I have to do, and then around 9 o'clock, I'd sit down, grab the latest tracks that he had put up for me to listen to, listen, call him, and spend an hour going over the tracks with him at night and talking about stuff. I mean, sometimes, you know, there wasn't much to say on the tracks, and we would be talking about other stuff
Something
and influences, else. But, you know, we easily talked, like, you know, 3 to 5 times a week, if not more. I'd say at one point we were talking almost once a day, you know?
Hmm.
As it got into the more crunch period, you know?
Yeah, kind of like...
And I'm more of almost, you know, almost a sounding board, if you will, like, you know, that almost like the producer role in a record, whereas, you know, Mike's bringing in the tracks, and like you said, I'll listen to it, and I'll be like, you know what, it's great, or, you know, maybe we could get a bit more intensity on this area. But I'll be honest, 9 times out of 10, like, if I had to make... suggestions in that, they were minor. Like, Mike would come in and he would be close to
the mark. So you weren't really telling him what to do, more or less, just saying, well...
I would give him all the concept art for an area, and I would give him walkthrough videos, and I would give him ideas of the type of vibe I wanted, and then he would come back with an early track, and I'd be like, yeah, I think that's awesome.
That's
or, you know, yeah, it's cool, but I don't feel it fits. Let's put it aside and maybe fit it in somewhere for something else, you know? But generally, we usually seem to nail it. You know, it's the same thing with the lead writer, Mary DeMarle. She was involved with the casting. It was basically her and I driving it.
Deciding who was
And in. Any time, I don't think there was one character that we butted heads over. Like, I would turn and I'd be like, oh, this is the guy. And then she'd just smile and look at me like, I think you're right. And then I'd be like, all right, cool. You know, and then once we put it back here and get it into, like I said, my little movie shop thing and to see it, It was obvious. Once you put it into the right context of what an ambient track, and even if it's just like a stock ambient track from the, you know, we'd pull a track out of like a map and just load it in just to get the drama.
Just to have something.
Just to get the feel. And 9 times out of 10, like that, the proof came out right there. You'd be like, well, it's obvious. This is the right one, you know?
This is the character.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That sounds like there was a really good dynamic there when you came up with it. Like, almost as if you guys had that vision together.
Yeah, it was strange. Like, it worked really well. And obviously, I mean, the biggest fear is that, you know, you got two people pulling in different directions, because that's never going to work. But it seemed like we were on the same page, and it worked really well. And it seemed with Mike as well. I mean, whether it's dumb luck or whether it's talent that I'm not patting myself on the back of bringing it all around and together, but... You know, I'm not the type to wave my own flag. I'm more or less like, let's do the work and let the work speak for itself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I definitely think it's, you know, at the risk of sounding sycophantic, I think it speaks for itself. Everything I've heard has been
I appreciate outstanding. It. That's great.
Those trailers had me just dying to play. I'm like, man, that song is so good. You know, just the sound vibe. Because, I mean, I'm big on sound. I mean, I run the soundtrack section, so.
I think you're going to enjoy the game then. There's like... With the cutscenes and everything, I think it's over 2 hours of music, so there's tons of music in there.
That sounds excellent.
Yeah, it should be good.
Well, thanks a lot for your time.
Hey, man, my pleasure. Thanks for the interest. It's great.
So, yeah, I just took over the section, and I've been dying to get something good.